I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Again, these are verses of Scripture, very knowledgeable to you, I'm sure, but you cannot reiterate these verses enough for people. And you're in this class, and I want you just to have the best knowledge that I can share with you from God's Word. Listen to verse 3, this now, again, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, to edification, exhortation, and comfort. When you prophesy, you speak to men, because it's the language of the body of the people present. It's in English in this body, for instance. We speak unto men. Edification. The word to, T-O, in verse 3 is in italics. Just scratch it, delete it. It reads officially in usage that he that prophesieth speaketh unto men edification and exhortation, or by way of exhortation and by way of comfort. Now look at verse 5. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. You see, the whole thing is that in interpretation and prophecy, the church has to be edified. The church has to be built up. In my private walk, when I speak in tongues in my private life, it's only for B.P. Wirwill, that I be edified. But boy, when I'm in a body of believers, whatever I do there has to edify the body, has to build up the whole body of believers. When it comes to this manifestation of prophecy, then tongues with interpretation equals prophecy. The interpretation in the language of the body of people present will be in English. It will edify by way of exhortation and comfort. It will edify the body. Prophecy will be given directly in the language of the body of the people. It would be in English here, and it would edify. With the exception of the prophecy of a prophet. The prophecy of a prophet would be not in the manifestation. It would not be by inspiration. The prophecy of a prophet where he would, for instance, foretell something. That would have to be by revelation. Not by in spirit action has to be specially given. Otherwise, tongues with interpretation equals prophecy. Then you say to me, well, then why not have prophecy all the time? Well, you'll see that's exactly what God wants to develop among the people when they are fully instructed. Now, but before I get to all of that, let's begin by talking about what prophecy is not. It is not the office or the ministry of a prophet, a man of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, just take a look at Ephesians chapter 3, there in verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now or lately revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That was revelation that was revealed, it says, revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets. You see, the manifestation of prophecy is not the ministry of a prophet or the office of a prophet, although a prophet could operate and does operate the manifestation. Do you understand that? That fine line of demarcation you must understand. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, listen to verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. These are ministries in the body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is another record that is familiar. And by the way, Never forget, people. Just never forget. Take these records on 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and Acts 2, 8, 10, and 19. All these records in here in this Holy Spirit book. And you really work those, master them, because I take them through verse by verse. And if you're really going to walk in the greatness of the power of God in these manifestations, you just cannot learn too much. It's impossible to learn too much. So learn everything you can about the greatness of this verse. I'm in 1 Corinthians 12. I wanted to show you. Listen to this verse. Better get there. 12, listen to this. 28. 12, 28. God hath set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets. God set the, these are ministries. Now the manifestation of prophecy, the manifestation is not the office or the ministry of a prophet. You understand it now? There are five ministries in the church. We read them in Ephesians a little while ago. Chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. There, verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. What for? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, with a view to the work of the ministry, with a further view, the edifying of the body of Christ. Until, verse 13, we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, and that's at the return. Up until that time, there are five ministries in the body. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are the five ministries. You know what an apostle is? Apostles are men and women called by God to bring new light to their generation or their age. It may be old light. It may be as old as the Word, but somehow or other people have lost it. So God sends these apostles to bring that light to that day and to that age. That's an apostle. A prophet. A prophet must, beyond anything, believe God, because a prophet acts as God's spokesman. A prophet is God's mouthpiece. He has to speak exactly what God wants him to speak. And that's why when you read the records in the Old Testament, and even in the New and even in the church age, the prophets were always men that got persecuted by the unbelievers. Every time. It's terrible what they did to them. But there's the record of God's Word. You know, foretelling, F-O-R-E telling, the foretelling of a prophet regarding future events and things of that nature, they're only incidental to the ministry of a prophet, not necessary at all, because there are prophets in the Word of God who never F-O-R-E told anything. They never foretold, F-O-R-E, anything. And yet they were mouthpieces for God, men of steel, men of commitment, because if you have the ministry of a prophet, you just cannot fluctuate on God's Word. That sets if nobody believes it. It is God's Word. That's why a prophet is always a hard man to take. The prophet will call the converted people who ought to walk like sons of God. He'll call them back and he'll say, look, why aren't you walking God's Word? Why don't you believe God's Word? Why don't you stand on God's Word if you're a Christian? And the prophet is the kind of man of God that will inform the carnal Christian of God's displeasure if he fails to be obedient to God's Word. Now, the prophecy of a prophet, not the manifestation, now the prophecy of a prophet is always inspired utterance by revelation. The manifestation of a prophet in the body of believers, the manifestation is by in-spirit action, inspiration. You understand it? Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, something real neat in here. Because there are ways to recognize a true prophet, whether he's genuine or whether he's counterfeit. If his prophecies have come true in the past, Deuteronomy 18, listen to verse 32. 32, you run out of the chapter. Deuteronomy 18, 22, listen. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. And boy, that's very important. Because if it's the true prophet of God, then it will come to pass. If it does not come to pass, then the prophet had spoken presumptuously, and he got it from his sense knowledge stuff. You know, people sometimes saddle up to me and they come up and they say, well, God told me to tell you. Or, this is my revelation. This is my guidance. This is what God wants me to share. Can be, but boy, listen. I'm very careful about that stuff. You don't see me running around the country and say, well, God told me this and God told me that and God told me that. When God does tell me, I know, but I seldom have to tell it. Because you'll know it's from the true God. Look, most of you will have enough to do to master what God's already told you. A few pages in here, you can master these few. That's God's word. You've got enough to work on. You don't have to come over and tell me what God told you this morning to buy a new pound of apple butter. You got the word to work on. That's revelation. I'm not saying it isn't possible, nor am I saying that it doesn't happen that God says specifically to you things. But, you know, people all the time want to seem to impress me with how God talks to them, to be sure that I understand God talks to them. Well, 90% of the time he hasn't talked to them. They just thought he talked to them. If they'd have studied God's word, they wouldn't have needed to have told me that, because God already had it in his word what they were supposed to do to begin with. You see, by your knowledge of the accuracy of God's word, you can pretty well know whether that man is a prophet of God or whether he's just a blow. By the accuracy of God's word. And if I can't know it by the accuracy of God's word on those occasions where I have known it, it's always been because I do operate the word of knowledge and God did tell me by revelation. And that is why a prophet, he proclaims the blessings of God to God's people when they confess their sins and when they live in accordance with God's will and with God's precepts which are set forth in the word. The third ministry in the body, these men are called and women would call evangelists. An evangelist is one who evangelizes, brings the unsaved to a knowledge of salvation by teaching them not to confess their sins, but by teaching them to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior from sin, and that God raised him from the dead. And then the fourth category is the category of a pastor. Pastors are people who pastor God's people. They tie up the wounds. A pastor is one with great understanding, great tenderness, great forgiveness, great love. It is he that keeps building up the people and keeps lifting God's people. That's what a pastor is all about. And the fifth category is the teacher. The one who expounds the integrity and the accuracy of God's word, and he teaches it so simply that not even a fool need to err therein regarding even the way of salvation. Well, those are the five ministries in the church, and they are going to be here until the return. Now, the manifestation of prophecy is not that office of a prophet, nor is it the office of an apostle, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. Yet every prophet, every apostle, every evangelist, every pastor, every teacher will in the body operate the manifestation of prophecy. Well, what else is it not? It's not foretelling of the future. A prophet who prophesies may do this. He could do this by revelation. There's a record in Acts that shows this. Let me take you to it. Acts chapter 21. Acts 21, this is verse 11. And when he, this is Agabus, a prophet from Jerusalem, chapter 21, verse 11. And when he, Agabus, was come, when he came to where Paul was, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and his own feet and said, thus saith the Pneumahagion, the Holy Spirit, thus saith God. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. There is foretelling, F-O-R-E telling, via the ministry of a prophet. God had already told Paul by revelation, not to go to Jerusalem. But God knew Paul wasn't going to believe, so he told Agabus. And Agabus foretold, F-O-R-E, told, which is the ministry of a prophet. And he got it by revelation and gave it forth by inspired utterance. In revelation, then inspired utterance, and he said, you go to Jerusalem. This is what's going to happen. The Jews are going to bind you, and they're going to deliver you in the hands of the Gentiles. See, the ministry of a prophet prophesying, foretelling, F-O-R-E telling, is inspired utterance by revelation, by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or discerning of spirits. That's how he gets it. But the manifestation of prophecy by a prophet is inspired utterance, in spirit action by inspiration. The same as prophecy by any other born-again believer. Not beautiful? Man, I've really set this for you. You just keep it separated like that and work it. It's just terrific. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, In verse 1 it says, follow after charity, which is the love of God in the renewed mind, and desire spiritual matters or spiritual things, but rather that ye prophesy. If everybody in the church, in that body of believers, the twig, the branch, if all are fully instructed, which should be our highest desire among God's people, that everybody is fully instructed, then God would rather that you prophesy. Why? Because then everybody's fully instructed, and prophecy is in the language of the body of the people present. Speaking in tongues with interpretation equals prophecy. But the reason there is speaking in tongues with interpretation is that those who are not fully instructed can see that you are doing something that they're not doing, and they're being instructed, then they can learn more and more so that they can move from tongues with interpretation to prophecy also. That's the difference. Well, what it's not preaching. Not preaching. I've heard ministers say that they have the gift of prophecy because they were adept in preaching. Preaching is not prophecy. Preaching is preaching. Soup is soup. Apple butter is apple butter. You know that. Talk to that person. You know what preaching is? Preaching is the art. It's an art of publicly expounding the Scriptures. Technically, that's what preaching is. That's what it should be. That's why every preacher, when he gets up, should publicly expound the Scriptures. Not the social problems of a country or the political problems, but the Scriptures. Because preaching is the art of publicly expounding the Scriptures. The manifestation of prophecy is not fortune-telling either. Bless your heart. It's not training, not natural talent, not natural ability. And it's not knowing a message ahead of time, I tell you that. That's premeditation. This is the manifestation of prophecy. Inspired utterance at the believer's meeting. It's the manifestation, not premeditation. Oh, yes, and let me tell you something else. Tongues with interpretation and prophecy, the interpretation and the prophecy are never for your guidance. That's right. Guidance is received by revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. That gives you guidance. The manifestation of prophecy is not for guidance. Tongues with interpretation, the interpretation is not for guidance. The interpretation is for the body of believers present at that moment. The prophecy is for the body of believers at that moment. And I have seen groups where they get together like in the morning and operate the manifestations and they use them for guidance for the day. For instance, where they say, I, the Lord, thy God, will be with you. I will succor you and strengthen you. That is for the immediate body present. Now you believe that and you walk all day on it, but it's not guidance for the day, it's guidance for the body of believers. Otherwise you'll end up and somebody will say, well, I, the Lord, thy God, say to you, go work at Timbuktu. Throw three shovels across your left shoulder. That's a bunch of baloney. It's for the edification of the whole body. Don't you see it? For the whole body. It's not guidance. The manifestations never give you guidance on what to do out in the world. The manifestations give you guidance for the body of believers present here. And if you believe that, the results will show up in the world. You understand? Don't you flip out on that, baby. Golly, 60. We had some people of the way ministry that I taught the greatness of God's word to by prophecy. They said God told them to move down to a certain state and dig in because the return was close. Oh, Lord, you know, prophecy is for the edification of the immediate body. The reason I know it couldn't be revelation is because it never came to pass. And the prophecy of a prophet would have to come to pass. But don't you get caught on that one. It's for the edification of that body at that time. That's what it's for. It's not revelation. God doesn't tell you to go to work and be on time at 8 o'clock. Well, if work starts at 8 o'clock, God doesn't have to tell you to be on time. You already know you ought to be there. Yeah. Well, bless your heart, that's what it's not. Now, what is it? Let me show you what it is. The manifestation of prophecy, what it is. It is the giving forth in your language, and your language happens to be English in this body. Giving forth in your language a message directly from God to the body of believers. Remember that? To the body of believers. That body gathered here, three or more, 10, 12, 100, 1,000, I don't know. It's giving forth a message directly from God or for God to the body of believers, the body gathered there. That's what it is. If it's from God, be the first person, singular, or first person, like for instance, well, look at 1 Corinthians 14:3. The first person is, for instance, I the Lord say unto you, I the Lord say unto you. That's from God. I the Lord say unto you. If it is the prophecy the Lord says unto you, that's the third person. And there's always a natural stopping point. For instance, if I gave a word of prophecy in the essence of this, surely I, the Lord thy God, have blessed you. It is I who have called you. It is I who will succor you and strengthen you. Yea, I will undergird you and be with you all the days of your life. See how naturally it closes? That's prophecy. In the language of the body of the people present. Now, some people, sometimes I've seen them go this long in prophecy, and you see what happens? They just keep reiterating. Reiterating. You know what that means? That means repeating. They just keep repeating the same basic truth. Prophecy was given for the edification of that body of believers, to edify them, build them up. Build them up by God speaking to His Spirit in you and you just giving it. And that edification will electrify them. Give it fast. You don't have to drag it out. Just, I, the Lord thy God, have succored thee and strengthened thee. I will uphold thee. I will keep thee. Yea, I will be with thee all the days. Look at that thing. Man, edifies by way of exhortation and comfort. I'll teach you more of that a little later. But right now, this message of the manifestation of prophecy is for those present there. Do you understand that? It's not for the fellow standing outside of the building. It's for those believers present. Again, it's supernatural. Works by, in your spirit, to your mind, you give it forth. It's by inspiration, not revelation. It is F-O-R-T-H telling, forth telling, just declaring it. And it's for the edification of the church of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4 of 14 of Corinthians. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifies, builds up the church. Verse 5, I would you all spake in tongues, but rather that you prophesied, except ye interpret. According to chapter 14, verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. To covet means to earnestly desire. Earnestly desire prophecy in your church, in your body of believers, because then you'd have to be fully instructed. And don't forbid the speaking in tongues, it says. Same verse. This prophecy is for the learning of all. Look at verse 31, 14. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. It's talking about prophets bringing forth the manifestation of prophecy. Doesn't say that everybody in the body of believers prophesies, but talking here about the prophets, that all may be comforted. See? It's for the learning of everybody. And according to 14:1 that I read earlier, but rather that you may prophesy, it's that which is preferred above all manifestations in the believer's meeting. Now, prophecy, what does it do? Well, I ought to just once more read you this record here in 14. Rather that ye prophesy, and verse 3, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in tongues edifieth himself. He that prophesieth edifieth the church. Speaketh unto men. Speaks to men edification, exhortation, and comfort. The word edification is oikodomia. From oikos, from house. It's a big buildup, like a big house, like a big edifice. The word edification means to build up. Well, how do you build up a house? You don't start with the top. You don't start with the top block. You start at the bottom, the foundation. You build one after the other. Therefore, the manifestation of prophecy edifies. It builds up, lays the groundwork. By way of what? exhortation. The word is para or paraklesias. And the word paraklesias means to entreat. I entreat you, my fellow believers. I encourage you. I build you up. I entreat you to stay faithful on my word. That is exhortation. It never tears people down. True prophecy is never something like I've heard given already where people said, "For I, the Lord thy God, say unto you, you're not walking worthy of me. You're not standing put. Go sell your farm and give the money to me." Bunch of baloney. How does that edify? How are you edified if I say you're a nincompoop? Edify you. Look, the manifestations, the true manifestations, always edify. They build people up. They never tear people down. They, by encouraging people toward a more worthy endeavor. And the second major thing it does is to comfort. The word is paramuthia, which means to speak tenderly, to speak lovingly, and to speak wonderfully. That's the word comfort. Man, oh man, sure something the church needs, isn't it? I get to a believer's meeting, I don't need any hell. You know why? I got enough all day long in that lousy senses world among the unbelieving. Enough hell out there. Boy, when I get to that body, that twig, that branch meeting, man, I don't need hell. You know what I need? The manifestation. I need encouragement. I need to be spoken to tenderly and lovingly. I need that comfort. And man, we've got it, the way ministry, where they're operating according to the word of God. It's the most tender, the most loving. Oh, it just melts you. That love of God is so sweet. It just melts you. I don't know any better term. It just melts you. Man, from the moment you walk in, you meet that believer at the door, he says, "Well, God bless you. Glad you're here." And the tone in that voice, the smile in those eyes, the tenderness in that heart already begins to just melt you down. Boy, what a wonderful place a twig is. And out in that lousy old census world that the old adversary controls it, you've been walking like a son of God, but he's bombarding people all day long. And you get to that believer's meeting, you just sit down and you just rest. And there you have that exhortation encouraging you toward a more worthy endeavor. There you have that comfort, that sweetness, that tenderness. Isn't that beautiful? Look at the greatness of those manifestations. Boy, I want to tell you, I could miss teaching the word, you know. I could miss it on, I could wrongly divide the word at times. I don't want to, but if I ever did, you know, I could do, that could happen. But boy, you can't ever be off when you're operating manifestations. It'll always edify by way of exhortation and comfort. For it's God, by inspiration, bringing forth God's will and God's word at that moment to that body of believers. What a tremendous thing. Oh boy, oh boy. So it edifies you, bless your heart, by exhortation and comfort. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, bless your heart. Verse 41. Came to pass that when Elizabeth had heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled, plethoed with pneumahagion, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." There is prophecy. Elizabeth didn't know anything about Mary, yet she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she gave a word of prophecy. And the word of prophecy, look at the exhortation, the comfort. "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Boy, oh boy. Verse 45, "And blessed is she," talking Elizabeth still, talking to Mary, by prophecy, giving this word, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Boy, what comfort. You know, people were laughing at Mary. Even Joseph had thought about putting her away. Remember all that? Boy, oh boy, look at the comfort in that. Old Mary gets down to Elizabeth's place. And Elizabeth's filled with the Spirit. And then all at once she says, Mary, don't you stew and fret 1 minute. You know why? Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. She couldn't have a miscarriage. Nobody's going to kill her. She's going to have that baby. You know why? Because God knew. Boy, you talk about the comfort. You're out there in the old world and you get in that believer's meeting and the Lord said, I am the Lord your God. I have succored you and strengthened you. I will continue to walk by your side. I will bless you with an everlasting blessing, for I am the Lord. Man, you and strengthened you. I will continue to walk by your side. I will bless you with an everlasting blessing, for I am the Lord. Man. Oh, God, thank you for being in that believer's meeting. Isn't that something? Oh, people, these manifestations are just fantastic. Look at Luke 1:46. Here's Mary, word of prophecy. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. Verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that love him, respect him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. Verse 52. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Verse 55, listen carefully. As he spake to our fathers and to Abraham and his seed forever. There is prophecy out of the lips of Mary. What a tremendous comfort. Look at verse 67, chapter 1 of Luke. Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, here it is. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised us up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all that hate us. Look at the exhortation and comfort there to perform the mercy promise to our fathers, verse 72. And to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, talking about John. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our way, our feet in the way of peace. Look at the comfort there. That's the prophecy of Zacharias. That's the manifestation of prophecy. Look at the exhortation, the comfort in these. There's another great record in Luke chapter 2. Just blesses my heart. Luke chapter 2, verse 27. And he just talk about Simeon. And he, Simeon, came by the Spirit, by revelation, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, that's when Joseph and Mary brought in Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of Jesus. Verse 34. And Simeon blessed them, Joseph and Mary, and said unto Mary his mother, now here is prophecy, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and a sign which shall be spoken again. Yea, a dagger shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. People, that's prophecy. These are the manifestations in operation. Also the ministry of prophets. You see, the ministry of a prophet getting by revelation and then speaking it out in the senses ears would sound the same to the senses ears as the manifestation of prophecy spoken by a believer. The difference, of course, is in the fact that the one is the ministry of a prophet, the other is the manifestation. The manifestation is for the body of believers, that the body is edified, that the body is built up. You see, all of this, all of these great things about manifestations, how they operate, are in this Holy Spirit book. I've handled every one of these chapters. I would have enjoyed reading the whole 14th chapter of Corinthians with you, but it's all in here. I marveled at this thing, looked at it again yesterday, today, and I marvel at the knowledge that's in here and the exposition of the Word as it's covered line by line and word by word. You see, when it comes to these manifestations, you'll say to me, like you do in all of them, which you have a right to, when will these manifestations cease? I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13 once more. Show it to you again. I showed it to you in the foundational class. And now in the intermediate class, I want to return here to this great 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And it says in verse 8, the love of God in the renewed mind never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And it simply means they'll terminate, they'll stop, that's all. They shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So that speaking in tongues, the manifestation of prophecy, the word of knowledge, those are all going to terminate someday. But in verse 10, but only when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Until the return of Christ, people, until He comes back for His church, we've got these wonderful manifestations. Speaking in tongues to build up the individual, tongues with interpretation to edify the body, the manifestation of prophecy to edify the body. What a tremendous thing we have. Utilize them according to God's Word. Operate them according to God's Word. How is it used most beneficially? That is with love. The love of God in the renewed mind is not puffed up, vaunteth not itself. That love of God in the renewed mind is tender. It's easy, it's beautiful, it's loving. And in that body of believers, that's the sweetest thing this side of heaven. That little twig is the greatest thing this side of heaven. It's the tenderest. It's the sweetest. It's forgiving. It's loving. It's understanding. There each one tenderly unfolds and tenderly helps one another. How are these manifestations used most beneficially? With the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation, else it profits me nothing. And inside of the church, the entire body has to be blessed. It has to build you up. And it's inside of the church. You know? When it comes to the operation of the manifestations, people, the basis on which all the rest of the manifestations operate is kinds of tongues, speaking in tongues. I want to tell you that if you're ever going to move with the greatness of the power of God, there are two great things you're going to have to do. Number one, speak much in tongues in your private life. Speak in tongues constantly as much as you can, for that builds you up spiritually. And the second great truth is, study the Word of God. Rightly divide this Word. Hide this Word in your mind. Put on the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put this Word of God in your mind. Speak much in tongues. Then you've got the basic foundation, people, that'll make you a life that's more than abundant. You're going to be more than a conqueror. You're going to be thankful that you have the joy of walking forth with the greatness of the power of God and bless people and be blessed yourself. And inside of the body of believers, the church, you speak much in tongues in your life. You come to that believers' meeting and you give an interpretation of tongues or you give a manifestation of prophecy that builds up the body of believers. That builds up the whole body. All right. Now that body is built up. And you know how the word of knowledge operates, and therefore you need special knowledge, which is not specifically given in the Word. The general is given here, but the specific needs to be given. God, by word of knowledge, is able to give it to you. Tells you the score. By word of wisdom, He tells you what to do about that knowledge. And by discerning of spirits, He is able to give you revelation to tell you whether it's genuine or counterfeit or whichever way it goes. And then, having this information, this revelation, because you have this in operation as a foundation, then by the manifestation of believing, you bring to pass the working of miracles or the gifts of healing among the body of believers. What a tremendous thing, people. I'd like for you to take your Bibles, please. I'd like for you to go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 14. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14, beginning with verse 2, we have a tremendous record. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 2, listen to this. 15 it is. 15, two. Chapter 15, verse 2. Talking about Asa, he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. And if ye seek Him, you notice this is in the third person, this prophecy. And if ye seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching, priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought Him, He was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country. And the nation was destroyed of nations, and city of city, for God did vex them with adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, verse 7, be strong, again in the third person, the prophecy. Be strong, and let not your hand be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest secret in the world today is that the Bible is the revealed Word and will of God. And I thank you. Thank you for your love and your goodness. And I bless your people in that name which is above every name, the name of our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for everything you've wrought for our people, Father, may these manifestations of interpretation of tongues and prophecy just literally abound to all of our people through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. God bless you. I love you.